Pat.
Hey, Max.
Are you impressed at how orderly my hotel room is this weekend?
It is super orderly. I'm guessing it's for the same reason mine is because you spent very little time here and somebody cleans it up every night.
That would do it. I could tell you exactly how much time I spent in here, which is about 3.5 hours a night.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You've been doing the Gen Con that I used to do.
Yes.
I did a Gen Con back in the day. I was trying to do the math. I'm pretty sure I've been coming to Gen Con for 21 years now. And among the early ones were I would sleep on somebody's floor. You know, a friend who lived in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, because it was in Milwaukee.
Exactly.
Right.
And then eventually I grew up a little bit and then I slept in my car in a parking ramp. Slept in my car in a parking ramp in the middle of this that was still Gen Con or when Gen Con was in Milwaukee, but it was like a big sweaty July in the parking lot, right? In the parking ramp. So it's just no breeze, no air. And I slept in this little Geo Metro tucked into this parking ramp. And I was so hot that I turned on the car just so I could blow air out of the vents.
Mm-hmm.
But I was tucked in the corner of this. I probably gave myself carbon monoxide poisoning, sleeping in this car, running with the doors and windows open to blow the vent.
Yeah.
They were not great choices is what I'm getting at here.
My first Gen Con was maybe, 2015. So it was like six, seven years ago. And my group of college friends, the guys who I made Humans vs. Zombies with, we got commissioned to design to sort of adapt Humans vs. Zombies, which is a game you play with Nerf guns, like running around outside, into a game you could play at the convention center, which does not allow projectile toys and also does not allow running or any fun. So we figured it out. We made a game called Cards vs. Zombies, and the idea was like, I'm sure you see the people with the bright colored bands on their arms and heads, and they're playing so that if you have an armband, you're a human. If you have a headband, you're a zombie. The zombies try and tag all the humans by the end of the convention, and the humans can defend themselves by, they come up to our booth and they get these cards that are like a dart, and you can, and if a zombie tags you, you can hand them a card to defend yourself.
Oh, wow.
So there's like different drop points where you can go get cards, and it's just sort of this like lightly interactive game. But I think it's like probably other than True Dungeon, the biggest event at Gen Con.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah. And it's absolutely invisible. I did not know that was happening.
Now that I told you about it, you'll see a huge number of people next year. I mean, assuming we get invited to do it again, wearing the colored headbands. And also like it's great for kids too, because the kids have like something they can do.
Oh, and you know, I play that game with my little boy at cons because, you know, I love holding his hand, but sometimes I've got to hold other things with my hand so I can't constantly clutch him. And there's busyness and crowds. And so I play a game with him. Here's how to use games to manipulate your children, folks. I say, let's play a game. I say, I'm going to sometimes touch a part of my face, and you say, when I do that, I'm going to try to sneak it in so that you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he watches me like a hawk. And because he's watching me like a hawk, he cannot get lost.
That's like some like Maslow, like psychological conditioning. Like that's some like diabolical psych experiment stuff.
Know, and I would feel really guilty if, say, I just told him that and then I like walked around for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually turns out to be a lot of fun because I'm sitting there and then, you know, sometimes I'll forget and, you know, you kind of rub my eye and he goes, I, you know. But as soon as he does it once or twice, I look over at him and I'm peeking at him and he's watching me. And then I'm like, oh, and I tried to do something sneaky and he sees that I'm doing something sneaky and it's play. It's play in the purest sense of the word.
Speaking of holding hands, we did on Friday night after we did the show, we did a signing for about 3 hours and, you know, I shook everyone's hand who came through the line. And then afterwards, I held my hands in front of me like a surgeon.
Yes.
And I walked to the bathroom and I went to wash my hands and just like a crazy carnival of like black goo came off of my hands.
That's the evil. I feel like Howard Hughes at these conventions. you know, I At this point, I fist bump. I just reflexively fist bump.
Way of the future.
Everyone.
Way of the future.
And, you know, okay, by the way, everyone, I love you. If you've given me a fist bump, don't beat yourself up about it. But we are not playing bloody knuckles. You know, you've got nothing to prove here. Let's not be bros. You know, if I go up for a bump, it's like we're in the same way that if we do a handshake, nobody in their right mind at this day and age will try to like muscle you during a handshake. So it's like, don't, we're not doing a fist punch. You know, we're not Street Fighter here. Mm-hmm. Just tap it. Like kiss my hand with your hand. Let's be hand kissing. Now that gets weird. I was going to take that metaphor somewhere and I don't want to now. That was a bad idea.
We should probably explain where we are. We're at Gen Con, which is a game convention in Indianapolis. I'm a game designer, so I have, this is sort of, this is like the Comic-Con of board games. Like it really is the biggest kind of mostly board game centric, you know, tabletop centric convention. And, you were actually, as you were just explaining, they also have like a writing track. That was your weekend.
Yeah. You know, I was on three panels, you know, and I really enjoyed them all. Gen Con is the only con that I ever knew about growing up. I did not know that things like Comic Cons existed or that, like, you know, like Star Trek conventions or sci-fi fantasy conventions, like book convention. I knew none of that existed, but my friends knew about Gen Con, and so I ended up tagging along.
But not to make you feel old, but like, did they exist? Because Gen Con was very early.
Gen Con is one of the very legitimately old ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's in Indianapolis now, but it was in Milwaukee for a long time. But the reason it's called Gen Con is because it was originally in Lake Geneva, in Wisconsin, which is where D&D comes from Wisconsin, my
not
state.
Not from Lake Geneva, though.
Absolutely.
Does it really?
Yep.
Wow.
That's where D&D started.
That's weird. That's kind of where Cards Against Humanity started, because that's often where we go to do our like writer's retreats. So that was like some of the earliest times we went to work on the game.
Everything comes from Wisconsin. It's the middle of the world. Look at a map of the United States. We're right there in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it's close to the greatest city in the country.
Yes.
Which is Chicago. I don't know why I get so competitive. I don't even care. I don't know why I get so much like civic pride.
I
just need Chicago to be better than something. And I'm picking Wisconsin.
It's funny because, you know, like New Yorkers typically love New York, you mm-hmm. know. LA people,
that's a Stockholm syndrome situation.
I kind of believe that too. Well, like if you were paying that much rent,
yeah.
You would feel the need to prove to everyone that it was worth it.
It's a cognitive dissonance. You're like, well, I clearly wouldn't be paying so much if this place wasn't great.
I would have to be insane.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not insane.
Yeah, ergo. Yeah.
But, you know, Wisconsin is such, you know, culturally, it's such a non-place that whenever you see it mentioned, or whenever I would see it mentioned somewhere, it was such a treat. You know, like in... what was that thing? It had David Foley in it. It was about a radio program. It was a sitcom.
I know. Sports radio.
It was a radio something.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Do we have to stop and look it up?
I can throw out more useless information.
News radio. That was it.
And
that was a great show.
It was so great.
Yeah.
And one of the characters,
Andy Dick, was on that.
Yeah,
right.
And they constantly gave one of the characters shit for being from Wisconsin. But it's still like you're like, even though it was being mocked, you're like, woo, Wisconsin has gotten a mention in popular media that 70s show is actually like really close to home, literally, because it was set in Point Place, Wisconsin.
Oh,
which is quite, it's absolutely Stevens Point, Wisconsin, because they talk about the factory. I mean, I can throw a rock and hit where the factory was. It was the Lullaby Lane mattress factory that burned down eventually, and it was awful for the town because it was a huge piece of industry. They talk about the university. That's where I went to school. They talk about, you know, everything around there it's Stevens Point. It's Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
I never made that connection. That's pretty cool.
And there's no reason anyone would unless you happen to actually live in Stevens Point.
I was one of our – so for a lot of the cards, we this is an easy convention for, like, everyone in Chicago at Cards to come to because it's, you know, like a three-hour drive. It's no big deal. So, like, everyone, all the interns, like, everyone all comes down, and it's, like, a big – for a lot of them, it's their first convention they've ever been to. So I was trying to explain to people before we went. I was trying to, like, get people to – I was like, how do I really explain what Gen Con is? Like, how do I sort of set this up? And I was like, well, PAX – I was like, well, you've got PAX on one hand and, you know, and then Gen Con on the other. PAX would be like Disney World, and Gen Con is more of a state fair in terms of its, like, in terms of its kind of its vibe. And if you come to Gen Con, you're going to see some hogs.
Yep. It's like there's going to be it's a little more rustic, you know, and honestly, people at PAX, it is. It's total carnival. It's like festival atmosphere.
Well, PAX is or another way to put it. PAX is like one of these like utopian societies, but they're also kind of like fascist. Like it's all planned from the top down, and it's exquisite. It's like Disney World. The streets are clean. Everything is orderly. The trains run on time. But you sort of come and you know your place. You're a participant in PAX, right? Gen Con, I mean, anyone can do any event here. The events book is literally like a phone book. I mean, you cannot – I mean, it's overwhelming. I mean, thousands and thousands of events happen here. They don't say no to anything. It all happens at Gen Con. But as a result, you have that like bottom-up – like, I mean, it really feels like a state fair. If there's just like 100 people selling corn dogs and 100 people, you know, trying to have the prize llama.
And there's – because it is an old con, it has – it kind of has kind of it has some roots in what I can kind of half jokingly refer to as the bad old days, you know, because and I can say that having come back in the day, and not that I came and oh it was bad back then, but you know, back then, I bet the guy to girl ratio was probably at least. At least 10 to 1. You know, we used to play a game called Where's the Girl?
Yeah.
Like somebody would take a picture of like the hall and you would see if you could find a female in it. And because of that, and because of a few other things, you know, it was not necessarily a welcoming place for you if you were not like a hardcore gamer. And I'm not saying it was a horrible place, but these days it's really neat. I wandered into a corner of the dealer's hall that I'd never seen before. It must be very new, and it's just for kids. You know, there's a ton of kid games. Like the booths around there are kid games, and then there's places for kids to like learn about games and see games and just sit down and play games in the dealer's hall. I didn't know that existed. So there,
I saw a lot of kids like with their sitting down and playing games with their parents, and not even in the dealer's hall, just like in the you know, in the hallways and the corners. That's something I love about Gen Con, and also like totally part of the state fair like atmosphere. If there is a square foot of space, someone will sit and play a game there. Like outside the men's room, on the sidewalk, outside. Like, I mean, it's just people are just here to play games and create that like play community. And it's really cool to see it come together.
I think one of the other differences, you know, PAX is a pretty good comparison. Everyone is here out of love of their particular flavor of thing. And a lot of that is game. And then there's a strong core of writers in the writer's track.
Yep.
And there's a few other things too. I mean, I used to LARP back here. There's LARPs running around, although I didn't identify them, you know, this time. Maybe they section them in specific places. But here at Gen Con and PAX, people are here to play. But at Gen Con, people are here to win. Like there's tournaments and there are, you know, people are here to like really seriously, seriously play a game. There's a lot of casual play too and a lot of fun play, but there's this hardcore of like, I am going to do this for 10 hours and like, God help you if you try to distract me from my mission.
Yeah. This is the convention for the dark nerds. Like they've like fully turned to the dark side and they're like, I will know every fact about this game. I will rules lawyer it. I will win. I will, you know, make my fan expansions. I will publish the fan fiction of the world online. Like, this is a hardcore convention.
Yeah.
And it's like when, so we, as we did this concert, we rented, we actually got, I'm pretty sure it's the biggest theater in Indianapolis for that concert. And it was like 3,000 seats. And, you know, I just assumed we got really cool performers. Comedians were Camille Nanjiani and Cameron Esposito, who are like two, you know, huge name comedians. It was yourself and Scalzi, who are like, I mean, two huge name authors. And then Paul and Storm, Molly Lewis, DoubleClicks, like huge name musicians in our world. And like, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, this is like, I mean, we spent a lot. So what the way it works is you pay a lot of money to rent the theater, like a lot of money. But you make it back because people buy tickets and then you get paid out at the end. And we, you know, Cards Against Humanity, who hosted this, we didn't, I didn't want to make any money on this whatsoever. I just wanted to break even and give a great experience to people and pay all the performers and just have it be a nice experience for everyone involved. And that's sort of, for us, that's like, instead of exhibiting at Gen Con this year, we wanted to use our time to create this awesome concert. And I, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, because I was thinking about PAX. I was like, this is a crazy rock star lineup. We're going to announce this thing, and 5 minutes later, it's going to be sold out. And we announced it, and 5 minutes later, it was not sold out. Because the Gen Con audience was like, who are these people? Like, I don't care about comedy. I'm here to play D&D.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the same as me staying up all night playing D&D. And it was down. It looked grim for a while. Like I was like losing sleep because of how empty that 3,000 person auditorium was. And then the last week, we had a couple of huge breaks promotionally. So
you should have tapped me a little earlier because I'd been slacking anyway about getting my blog up about it. You know, not that I by myself could have filled those 3,000, but I should have bumped it a little earlier.
You know what? It worked out. I'm pretty sure we did sell out. I think there were some people who didn't show up, but we still got their ticket money, so it's fine. But we did. Yeah, we also had a lot of walk ups, but
yeah.
The big breaks we got were your blog post, big bump from that.
Did I move the needle at all?
Yes. We were watching like all the ticket sales, and we were like, okay, that's Pat's blog. Neil Gaiman tweeted about the concert. That was huge. What were the other big ones? We did a discount code for the concert. That was big. And we announced some of the stuff that was in the swag bag. We had a really cool swag bag, and that also got a nice bump. And then I sent out some like press releases and worked some like press stuff. And I got us, me and Paul and Storm invited to this radio show called Bob and Tom. I think it's just Bob and Tom in the Morning or Bob and Tom.
I know about Bob and Tom.
You do know Bob and Tom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm really glad I didn't know this before we went to do the radio show. But it turns out they're a very big deal.
Oh, they're a huge deal.
So,
and have been for a long time.
Yes. Now I know that. But I showed up. They knew Paul and Storm. So yep. I was like, okay, these guys are cool. They like Paul and Storm. We'll be okay. You know, I always wonder if I'm going to do a Cards thing, am I like walking into an ambush?
Right.
And someone's going to be like, how dare you print this filthy,
thing?
Who knows? But that's always in the back of my mind. But so they knew Paul and Storm. I was like, okay, I'm cool. I can be okay with this. And I show up in the theater or at the studio, I mean, at, I don't know, 6 a.m.
Ugh.
You know, when it's like, do you want to be on at drive time when people are like getting up going to work?
Yep.
So we, I get there, the producer pulls me aside, and they're like, all right, let me give you a tour, show me the studio, show me the room. And you've probably done radio before?
A bit. For me, it's mostly like NPR-type stations. It's a little more homespun.
So BEZ in Chicago is a very nice radio station. It's a big flagship NPR affiliate and local member station. And BEZ is like a piece of crap studio compared to this. Like every radio studio I've been in, including BEZ and WGN in Chicago, which I'm on all the time, I mean, they're like, it's like your parents' basement, if like post-apocalyptic. Like it's like there's like cigarette burns in the chairs, and like, I mean, it's everything is falling apart, and there's tape on the everything. It's like duct tape is holding everything together. Like the microphone stands like creak when you move them. Like it's all garbage. And this place was like the Starship Enterprise. Like it was the most costly, fancy, state-of-the-art radio studio I've ever been in.
Did you like that feel?
No. It was terrifying. Because I was like, what did I just walk into? Like, this is a different animal than I am accustomed to.
Because I would miss, at WPR, they have this huge tradition of, like, radio drama. And I go in there, you know, and it's not, it's not quite as threadbare as you describe, but you know, it's older, you know,
yeah.
It's older. It's part in one of the campus buildings. There's a lot of old wood and you know, it's some old eggshell. It's not fancy acoustic tile. It's like foam on the walls. But if I was going to say, if I went in there and there was like chrome and flashing lights, that would freak me out a bit.
There were also like 15 people like working on the show, like pushing buttons and moving sliders and computers
That's serious.
And so that was sign number one. Sign number two was the producer sits me down and has me sign up the release and is giving me the rules. And he's like, okay, rule number one, don't mention what time it is or where we are or anything about Gen Con or Indianapolis or anything pertaining to the locale, because we're on in like hundreds of markets and everyone, you want everyone to feel like it's your hometown show.
The local show.
And what happens is like once every, I don't know, half hour or whatever, they do a local segment where they do like the traffic and weather for Indianapolis.
Oh.
And that's when we plug the concert,
okay.
Right? But not during the segment. So he's like, don't talk about where you are. At all. And then don't cuss, obviously. It's radio.
Ooh,
and, yep, so now that's – now I'm like, okay, I'm like making my little checklist in my mind. And he's like, also don't talk about religion or sex or politics in any way.
And you're just also a political analyst.
And I write like a dirty game like about – yeah. And also he's like, also like, don't, you know, don't make any jokes or try and change the subject. Like you follow the host Tom and he'll sort of indicate when it's time. And like, you just sort of laugh at Tom's jokes and chime in. And he's like, you'll know. And I, in my mind, I'm like, I don't think I know any other things to talk about. Like, like
what else is there?
Like, I really don't, I'm out of things that I know how to say. So I go into, and then the final thing is when I'm waiting in the little green room waiting to go on, I hear the radio show. They're like playing it on the radio, and it's like a morning radio show. It's got that like blah 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 blah, and then they like go to the woman, and she's like blah. It's got the like the one woman in the studio.
It's all Charlie Brown noise to you.
I don't know. It's got that cadence.
I know what you're talking about.
And then they go to the ad guy, and he's like, brah, 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 brah. Like it's just such that it isn't Charlie Brown noise. It's like it's just that generic paste of a radio show.
I know what you're talking about. I think of it as the cultural script, where if you heard it in a distant room, you would go, that's morning radio.
Yeah.
Even if you could not distinguish any of the actual words.
That so I heard that and it was exactly it, and I was like, I why did I decide to do this? Like, I really have no idea what I'm doing. So I go, oh, and also the comedian Jimmy Pardo was in that morning, who I'm like a huge fan of, and he's a pretty big deal comedian, and that was also a surprise. So he was like plugging a show he was doing in Indianapolis. So Paul and Storm were already there; they stayed, which was like thank God for that, because otherwise I wouldn't have known what to do with myself. And the guy asked, you know, he asked me questions about cards, and I tried to give like quick punchy answers,
right.
And they go around and make comments or whatever, and like, wow, but it must have been a bunch of nerds that came up with this game, or you know, I don't know, like,
wow.
And it was like, you know, that kind of banter or whatever, and they just shut up. And and then they played Cards Against Humanity like on the air. They attempted to play it on the air.
Did they do it blind?
They knew not to like read the cards.
Vetted it. Yeah.
But they what they would do is like a big black like we can't say it, right? But you could. But so it was like really weird. But everyone in the studio was like all the like lackeys in the studio who are there to laugh at the host. They were all laughing. So I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe it was good. And then there was like one bit where like every once in a while they would turn to the woman and they'd be like, hey, hit us with a news story. And she'd be like, well, you guys aren't going to believe this one. Did you hear about this one? And then she'd like pitch the news story, and then everyone would go around and make a joke and you'd all laugh, right? So the one she did was like that these like researchers have invented like a new spray-on condom. And the way it works is you like spray it on, you have to wait 3 minutes, and then it works like a condom. And then everyone went around and made their jokes, and it came time to me to make my joke. And I was like, I don't know how to do, I don't have this like language. So I was like, well, I'm just wondering, like, how do you get this thing off? Do you have to like shed your skin like a snake to get it off? And it just silence in the studio, just total silence. Except for Paul and Storm, who were like chuckling. And then Tom turns to me and Paul and Storm, we're all sitting together, and he's like, yeah, of course the nerds over there, they're thinking about how does it work? How do you get it off? And I was like, all right, this is...
What the hell else do you think when it's like, it's like 3 minutes. It's like, so I've got a boner and I'm going to spray... Which is something you couldn't see. I already failed the test.
Yep.
If I'm on radio, I've already failed. They've bleeped me out and I've been thrown out of the building. But if I've got a... I'm assuming you you know, like it's you just. And then what do you do for three? You kind of like, hey, you know, don't let this touch anything for 3 minutes.
Speaking as someone who did a lot of debate speeches that had to be exactly 3 minutes long, it's a long time. It's a long time to have someone looking at you waiting for you to do something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and especially at that particular moment in time, if that was during the, like, hey, you know, kissing, cuddling, like, if that was in between, like, dinner and dessert, 3 minutes isn't a long time, but in between, like, so you want to do it? Yeah, let's do it. Okay, I'm ready. Are you ready? Yeah.
Beep, beep. Well, this has been Max and Pat in the morning. Let's go to news, traffic, weather, weather, news, traffic, and news. We'll be back after this tool of the week from Menards.
You know what we should address? We should address the lost episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it just occurred to me. Because I don't know why that just popped into my head, but we recorded it. I was out at VidCon and on kind of a I was having trouble with my computer for some reason, and so apparently we got like bad feedback.
Yeah, it was like a combination of technical issues of I accidentally recorded us on one track, so I wasn't able to like fix the audio on your track. And then also, like, we were getting ready for this concert.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were both traveling. So it was the perfect storm of laziness and the small technical difficulty.
Well, that weird, that keening kept coming on, too. And yeah, I don't know what that was. Figure out where that came from.
It was a slow episode, too.
We were kind of rambling around. We talked about it.
We were tired.
Yeah.
I could tell on the thing. I was like, we're so sleepy. We should not be recording this right now. I was like, this is sleepy. This is sleepy Max and Pat.
The one thing that we talked about there, oh, that's what reminded me is you're like, and now a tool from Menards.
Mm-hmm.
In that episode, we talked about the potential of advertisers.
Oh, yes.
Which is the one thing that we might want to salvage from that.
Yes. Let me recap for people. So essentially, I've gotten, over the last couple of weeks, our podcast has been doing pretty well on iTunes and, people notice that. Which by the way, I'll also now interrupt my own story to mention, if people are digging the podcast, it is a huge help to us if you have iTunes, if you go on iTunes and just leave a nice comment, and even if it's just like, I like the podcast. I know it's like a really obnoxious thing to ask, but the way the iTunes robot works is if a podcast gets a lot of good ratings and comments, they like bump it up on the charts, and that's literally the only way people find a podcast. So if you dig the podcast and you've got 30 seconds, I know it sounds dumb, but it really does help us a lot to do that. Anyway, so that's been going pretty well on iTunes, and I've been getting a lot of emails from sponsors saying, hey, we want you to read ads on the show. We have a nonprofit like ad co-op for like local businesses in Chicago that does podcast ads, so that's another possibility. And it did, and I have no intention of like making money on this podcast or doing ads on it. But it did occur to me, because we're working on a kind of secret world builders project right now.
Yeah.
That if we did do some ads on the podcast, at the top of the podcast, like if I came out and read an ad and then we got paid a couple hundred bucks for that, we could give all that money to world builders.
That is a neat thought, and one of the things I like doing is because I for years now I've had people trying to buy ad space on my blog, which I've never really wanted to do, although I've had great ideas for fake ads.
Prairie Home Companion.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ketchup advisory board.
Mm-hmm. Biscuit mix.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can sing the buttermilk biscuit song in my sleep. Powder milk biscuits. Wholesome and nutritious. But, I like talking about...
We've now strayed into territory where the Venn diagram between the people who listen to our podcast and the people who have any idea what the fuck we're talking about, it's just two separate circles.
I would love to know that demographic. Like, how many of my geeks actually know what Prairie Home Companion is? I'm always surprised at who listens to that. It's so much broader than I ever anticipate. But, if people came at us and they had ad money to spend and it was a cool geek something that I thought that, that I'm interested in talking about, like, I might be up for that.
Yeah, I think we could do it in a non-obtrusive way where essentially Before the episode starts, I would come on and be like, hey, it's Max. This episode is sponsored by, you know, blah, 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 et cetera. And then it would be exactly 30 seconds long. So when you hit the skip button on your podcast player, it's precisely skippable.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I hope the advertisers don't listen to that part of this episode. Well, but I think we lost them somewhere in the talking about the differences between Gen Con and PAX. I think they probably all like were like, I am never going to listen to more of this podcast. I started asking about this when we were like walking somewhere, but you've been on the road doing like Hollywood type stuff. We were at SDCC, now we're at Gen Con. So you've been traveling for like about a month.
Yeah.
Are you writing during that time?
No.
And how what does that mean in terms of like, is that how devastating is that when you get back and you're like, time to write?
Well, what it mostly is I've cut way back on the number of cons that I do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to not seem like it in this podcast because we tend to get together and like, yeah, let's record.
Yeah.
And this is the middle of con season.
This is it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, what it really has been, this was going to be kind of the busy time, but I was going to have San Diego and then 3 weeks and then Gen Con. But then all that Hollywood stuff happened in the middle. So I traveled, I took a week in the middle of those 3 weeks to go to Hollywood and talk to some stuff. Then I stuck around an extra day to take a peek at VidCon and say howdy to ViHeart. But what that means is instead of like two cons over the course of 5 weeks, which isn't too bad, over the course of 5 weeks, I spent 3 weeks traveling, which if I was 30 again, it wouldn't be a big deal. And honestly, it wouldn't be a big deal now, except I've got the kids at home.
Right.
And it just breaks my heart. Like I had to keep like fighting the urge to like ask people if I could hold their babies here. And it's just like, there's no way that that's an acceptable thing.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's like, I'm so baby wanting.
You're like that. You're like the monkey, the mother, where they take away its chimpanzee and they give it the rag doll, and then it like protects the. Do you know this?
Yeah, yeah.
You learn that in psych class. Uh-huh. That's you. You're the monkey.
I'm so the monkey.
Yeah.
Somebody showed up through my signing line, and she had like this little baby girl, maybe like nine months old, and total in a little Ewok suit. It was the cutest thing, little baby Ewok, and she had these big brown eyes, and I'm like, oh, your baby's adorable. And I would have actually, because if it's my fan, they know that I'm not a creeper or weirdo or whatever, but there were so many people behind her in line, otherwise I would have said, you know, hey, how do you think she'd feel about Uncle Pat holding her for a little bit? Just, you know, I'm friendly, you know, like I look like a Muppet, you know, let me hold your baby. That's the big thing. And you know what it's like. You get back from a con, you haven't been sleeping enough, it's not in your own bed, you don't eat as well as you should, and then you're just exhausted for the day.
Well, you have this fantasy of like, all right, I'm going to get all my, you know, dalliances out of the way during this convention. Then I'm going to get home and it's going to be like back to work. I'm going to catch up on everything. That is not how it works. You go home, and you're just like, you're just dead. Like you just collapse. And then also like for me, at least my life is in shambles when I get back. Cause yeah. I have like 5,000 emails in my inbox and 20 missed calls on my phone. It's like, it takes me a day just to undo the damage of not being there for, you know, a week for the convention.
Yeah, because when you do what we do, it's like, you know, normally if you take a vacation from work, somebody else is running the register, somebody else is facing the shelves, you know, it's like, but yeah, nobody, our email still stacks up. Now, I have, one of the things that I have learned how to do, I can't write on the road like some writers, although I probably could if I scheduled myself more lightly at these cons. I have gotten to the point where I will do email maintenance while I'm on the road. So I don't go back to 1,000 messages for the most part, you know, if I'm able to stay on top of it. And you know, I've got my team of, like the World Builders team does a lot of the lifting for me now. It might be getting to the point where Amanda at some point kind of pre-choose some of my email for me. But I have to say, like, getting a straight-up assistant, you know, I know I fought it for a long time. Do you have an assistant? Like,
yeah,
just for you assistant?
Yep, I have an assistant. She's just my assistant, Kara. She's here.
Okay.
You'll get to meet her when we go play games later. But she is already too important to the company doing other things to basically do anything related to being my assistant.
Exactly. And that I was talking to Hank Green.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Like, his assistant, like, learned the business and yep. rose in the ranks. But you need a new one then.
We started talking about this in the last one. It makes me uncomfortable. I'll be brutally honest. I know the bullshit that I do in my life that if I wanted to make the most efficient business use of my time, I should delegate to someone, like planning travel and doing my email and all that. I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to give it to someone. It's just not a fun thing to do. I don't want someone else to do it. I don't want my life to be at the point where I'm not doing those things for myself. Like, so, I mean, if I really took that to its logical conclusion, like, why would I wipe my own ass? Like, I mean, right? That's a valuable use of my time. I could be taking phone calls, but you need at least one hand to wipe your ass. So why don't I have someone who follows me around and wipes my ass? It's because at some point you just have your dignity.
I hear you. I completely hear you. Now, but here's my question. Do you actually get joy from, like, booking your own travel?
No, but it doesn't matter to me to have joy from anything. That's not my – it really doesn't do anything for me.
And I hear you, but do you realize that that is not sustainable?
Well, I'm like, what, 27? So that's gotten me that far.
You got another couple of years, but like, look, I am Max. I am you from the future.
Uh-huh.
You've made terrible mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Your body hurts all the time. You don't have time to exercise properly.
Yeah.
You haven't spent enough time with your girlfriend.
Well, unfortunately, I can't have an assistant do that for me. If I could, I would hire an assistant to go exercise for me.
If you
figure that out, you let me know.
But here's what can happen. Like, uh-huh. you pick the things. First off, the easy ones are the things that you hate doing.
Yes.
That somebody else can do.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given those away, right? See, those that should be a gimme.
No,
you got to do that.
No, but those are the bad things to do. I don't want that job. I don't want someone else to have that job. That's a problem.
But
well, that's not a fulfilling job for someone.
You know, actually, what it is, not all jobs are perfectly fulfilling. However, let mm-hmm. me say this:
mm-hmm.
the things that you hate doing,
mm-hmm.
other people like.
I'm willing to buy that, but also the other thing is, like, I'm just too much of a I'm too picky. I can't. It's like, do you know that Seinfeld episode where Elaine becomes the personal assistant for the rich guy,
and
she can't. She can't go to she can't go to the Hamptons because she has to get him socks.
It's good,
but what?
Ultimately, I don't think they'll stay up.
No, they'll stay up
for a while. Yes, but not in the long run.
But that's why I got you the tighter ones.
Don't forget about those. Why do you keep mentioning those?
What do you want?
I want a decent sock that's comfortable, that'll stay on my foot.
So let me, instead of trying to persuade you, I'm not going to try to sell you.
Yes.
Instead,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you a story.
Okay.
Once upon a time,
mm-hmm.
there was an author who was doing way too much stuff. Okay, it's me. Me. Once upon a time, there was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, God, I am so busy. I have all this email. I'm not getting as much writing done as I want to. And I made a joke post on Facebook, and I said, needed personal assistant, must have good problem-solving skills, be self-motivated, and own your own bunny suit, because I was really punchy and tired, and I was just making a dumb joke.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like, made joke responses or sent me private messages and whatever and said, hey, you know, that's, I'd be loved to be your assistant, I'm whatever. But then somebody actually sent me an email that says, you know, I, you know, I used to be a TA and an assistant for professors, like absent-minded professors. I helped them kind of stay on track. You know, I used to do this. I used to do this. She says, I'm really good at Battleship, you know, and like she wrote this really great, like rhetorically sound, persuasive thing. And I emailed her back and I said, you know, this is a very, you know, if I really was going to get an assistant, I would totally call you. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, why don't you? You know, it sounds like, you know, I've been following you. It seems like things are kind of a mess for you and you're struggling to keep your head above water. Why don't you get an assistant? And I go, well, and I said pretty much everything you said right now. And I go, besides, you know, I live in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. You know, you don't want to move here. And she says, you know, I'm from Montana. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, whatever you think small town means, it does not mean what I grew up with in Montana. And I go, well, yeah, I go, but I probably can't pay you what you're worth. And she goes, well, I was going to join the Peace Corps. I bet you pay more than the Peace Corps. And I'm like, well, yeah. And I go, yeah, but I just don't really know if there would be enough work for you to do. And she says, how about I come out and we try it? And if it doesn't work, then I'll go do what my other plan was, which is to do the Peace Corps. And I'm like, well, okay, if you really want to, come out and we'll try it. And suddenly, I don't have to go to the post office myself to buy stamps, which is like 15 minutes I got back in my life. Mm. And suddenly, like, I can send her on an errand. And what was fascinating to me is I discovered that she actually loved alphabetizing things, which to me is like baffling. It's like, I don't believe that that is a real thing, but I'd like, I've got all these files and I need them put away. And she's like, ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm like, yeah, you can do it, but you don't have to. And she's like, no, I love doing that. Can I do them alphabetically by color and height? And I'm like, wow, really? She had not only a joy in organization, which I do not possess, she also had something that I do possess, which is a joy in service. Because my dad is an extraordinarily handy person. He's like rebuilt houses. He can stud a wall. He can do drywall. He can, run the electric for a house. He could do all of the pieces that you need to make a house with. And I can do none of these. But as I was a kid growing up, I am a really good gopher. And I can hold stuff and fetch stuff. And I can anticipate the desires of a person. So that it's not that they ask me for a hammer and then I go get the hammer. I look at what they're doing and I'm like, he's going to need this hammer in a little bit. I go get it, bring it back. And as soon as he's turning around, I have it. And I've effectively doubled this person's efficiency. I could never do their job, but I can make them twice efficient. And I loved doing that. For one, because he was my dad and it was just time we spent together. But there was such pride and joy and utility. I felt so good doing that. So I can appreciate that there is this joy in assistance. And even though these days, I think I actually could live a happy life being like the manservant.
Well, I need one. So if the book thing doesn't work
out. I think I would enjoy it if my life were something else. And I can say that honestly, and you know I wouldn't lie to you. And so I know that there are other people who would genuinely enjoy the opportunity to let you be you even better and with some extra free time. And you'd be creating a job, a much-needed job for America. And that's the end of my story. Like I said, I'm not trying to sell you on this concept. I'm just telling a story. Well, actually, because our last podcast right now technically was our challenge for the last time, for the lost podcast.
Yeah, we could talk about that one.
Where it was to find a friend and hang out.
The lost one was talk to our significant others during Gen Con. That was the lost one.
During Gen Con, right.
That's right.
So I have...
Oh, but my girl Veronica came to
Gen Con.
Yeah.
You got to give me. Well, but that does not mean, you know, because I know what it's like. You can be at a con with somebody and never see them.
No, I distinctly remember saying good morning and good night.
How much did you manage in between?
I might have asked, how is your convention going, without listening to the answer.
Oh, hope she doesn't listen to the podcast.
She was only, that's all I can ever hope in my life. No, she was only here for a day, so it was, but I did talk to her today.
Okay.
Because I saw that we were going to have a crazy hailstorm, and I just called to make sure that she was okay.
Oh, good.
Isn't that nice of me?
Yeah, well, it is. It is. I got a call from Sarah. It's always a little weird with, because a lot of times when I end up having dinner with people at a con, in the middle of that is when they're going to sleep. And so sometimes she'll
call. It's so weird. Yeah. Like the rhythm of a convention. Oh, I know what it is. It's because we're working. It's because the convention itself occupies the hours that normal human beings live their life in. And then we're working. So when all the exhibitors go have dinner together at 10 o'clock at night, it just feels perfectly normal. It's like, oh, well, this is dinner time. But like, meanwhile, you know, Veronica's going to sleep.
Exactly.
And then I get done with dinner and I'm like, I should call Veronica. And it's like 2 a.m.
Right.
Like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah. And I did, we talked a couple of times and I got to hear, my littlest one. You know, apparently he was like expressing a desire to call me. He doesn't talk a lot, but he can point at things. He really is good at making his desires known. And so he was saying, he was like doing the phone and saying, daddy, 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 which he had stopped doing for a while. You know, he would say daddy for a while. Mama is always the rage. Mm-hmm. He said daddy for a while or dada, you know, kind of with intention and looking at me or reaching for me. And then he quit for like 6 months, which mm-hmm. is a heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. And so I picked up the phone and I was leaving the restaurant. So noisy restaurant cell phone. I've got a bit of a discriminatory hearing thing where it's hard for me to make out voices, especially high pitched voices over a cell phone. But I hear, and he's going, da, da, da. You know, like on the phone, and I'm like, there's my little boy, he's saying daddy again. And I talked a little bit to my older boy and to Sarah. So I did a little bit here and there, not a ton, but I did maintain contact. And we texted actually a little bit more than usual. She sends me pictures. I sent her a picture of some of the kids' stuff going on in the dealer's hall and said, you know, he could have had a pretty good time here for a couple of days doing some of these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one turned out to be sadder than I expected. Good work, us.
Well, you know, whenever I end up talking about the boy at the con, I do feel a little maudlin.
That's it, man. That's the sacrifice how do you, it's like when this is the thing that I now that I am getting older, that I think about all the time and I literally never realized in your life, which is when you choose things, you're not just choosing the thing. It's also foreclosing all of the other choices that you could have made.
Yeah.
Right. It's like by picking coming to Gen Con to do what I'm doing this weekend, it's not just that I got to do that with my life. It's also that I didn't do all of the other things that I could have done with my life.
And, you know, that took me a long time to figure out, which is why I did way too many conventions and other events for a while. And it was actually, do you know Boyan?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Boyan did me a huge courtesy, a huge favor, not a courtesy, a huge kindness is what I meant to say. At one point, he was hanging out with the World Builders team and we were all together and he was sitting in on one of our meetings. And in the meeting, it came up, it said, so these people have invited you down in Chicago. There's a con and it's their first year and they have this many people and they got Jim Butcher going. It's like, do you want to go? And I'm like, well, that's a decent number of people, and I really like Jim. You know, and I'd be on some panels with him. I get to see him. It wouldn't be a bad idea to help out this new con, kind of support the community. And Boyan said, could you compare a weekend at that con to a weekend spent doing nothing except staying at home and being with your family and catching up on your sleep? It was a shocker of a thought. And I leaned back in my chair and I went, because there's been times when it's like I would pay $5,000 for a day with nothing in it where I could just sleep and play with my baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when you think that, and then you go, oh, this con is not actually offering me $5,000, and I'm like, I go, I shouldn't go to this con, should I? And Boyan's like, doesn't sound like it. And all the rest of the team is not hesitant at all. All the rest of the team is like, no, you should not go to this con. They were passing along the request. Since then, they weigh in more heavily with their own opinions because we've kind of come to these agreements and they're protecting me. They're protecting me from some of my own impulses sometimes. And, but yeah, it's that lost opportunity.
This reminds me of, I was talking to Allie Brosh at SDCC and she was working on a comic about, she got something in her eye and she's like, wow. She's like, I would really pay anything to have this thing not in my eye right now. Like, I know it's sort of a waste of money, but I would pay $1 million to not have this thing in my eye right now.
It is. It's like when you can start, like, it's an interesting benchmark, to say, like, what would this be worth? Not in an ephemeral concept. It's like in money, like right out of my pocket.
Yeah.
It's like that moment where Sarah got attacked by the ducks in the park. It's like, I would pay $1,000 to have that on video, mm-hmm. because it was one of the funniest moments of my life. She was so angry and trying to scare these ducks away from herself and failing. It was one of the best moments of our relationship, in my opinion. I could barely stand up. I was laughing so hard. That's how much I would value the preservation of that moment.
Yeah, but see, if you had it on video, you'd realize how lame it was in real life.
Nope, it would be viral hit.
It's every time you pull it up out of storage and you retell it, it grows in the retelling.
That's true. The story itself is a thing that's marvelous.
So
it sounds like we succeeded this time. We should touch on our success from the Lost podcast, our agreement to spend more time with friends. You hung out with your friend.
I've been doing a nice job with it. I've been making a time every week on my schedule to just like hang out with friends. I've done a very nice job of that at Gen Con, actually. I've been very proud of myself at Gen Con that there's been several occasions where I walked away from like a dinner with a lot of people to go specifically spend time to one person, with one person who was important to me to see at the convention.
Yeah.
And that's a tough because you feel like it's like, here's the center of the universe and I'm going to leave that and go be a friend to this one person.
Yep.
I don't know if that sounds really petty.
But, no.
It's tough to do that.
Yeah. It feels weird to walk away from a group full of people who you do know and enjoy to like, yes. But I get that feeling. It's like now I want this person. I just want all of this person.
Yeah.
That's how I'm wired in my head. I want a cozy group where we all love each other and we're going to tell stories in a relaxed atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I want an audience of 1,000 people, or I want just one person who is entirely mine. And I got that with James Ernest.
Oh, nice.
Who I absolutely adore. And I can maybe, I've already mentioned this a few times, but we talked about tech.
All right, we got to pick a thing for next week. What are we doing?
We've brought up exercise. I'm suspecting.
Oh, fuck no.
We set a low bar.
No, it's not happening.
So what else are we going to – well, and again, we don't say now we exercise X a week.
Here's
we would
what could
pick
be,
something small.
Here's what could be interesting. Okay. What if we pick – what if this week we try to identify one thing in our life that is a kind of a waste of our time that is preventing us from doing the thing that we're especially good at that's difficult to let go of and delegate it to one of the people whose job it is to do that thing?
We could do that or – we could pick something. I don't know if you have a few things that you do, mm-hmm. and I'll cop to one of mine. Like, occasionally I play like a little flash game,
mm-hmm.
and I play it, and I play it obsessively because I have this piece of my head. It's not even like a game.
Okay.
It's like I'll find a new little flash game online and I'll play it obsessively until I beat it.
Okay.
And it will eat 4 hours of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, I will not care. All I feel is relief that I am no longer have to play it to completion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a total waste of my time. And it's, but I do it again and again and again. It's a total dump. Do you have anything like that?
Oh, I am so into Hearthstone. I mean, I play a good 45 minutes to an hour of Hearthstone a day lately.
Well, that sounds like a recurring thing, but do you enjoy it?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. I play...
Oh, when I am playing things, when I'm playing a game, I only play games that I enjoy.
See, I...
That's one of my best qualities, Pat, is when I waste my time doing something fun, I make sure that it's something fun. I know... Let me tell you what you're doing, which is... I don't think this is a goal. I think this is like an issue you need to work out.
Yeah, I think
you're... I have identified this in myself, which is when I have anxiety about doing work, and I am when it's important to me and I don't want to do the work because I know I might screw it up and I'm procrastinating anxiously, I attempt to waste time in a way where I don't stew on how hard it is to do the work, but I will not allow myself to waste the time in an enjoyable way because then it's like, then I know that I'm slacking, right?
Wow.
Does that make sense? So I waste my time. It's like a self-flagellation. It's
like
I am wasting my time doing something I do not enjoy to avoid doing work. And that is like a broader, for me at least, I know in myself that that's a broader anxiety issue. The thing that I do that helps me with it is I turn my attention to another project that I'm more excited to work on. So I have tried to find ways to procrastinate in a productive way.
Yeah.
And that could even be going up and going to the grocery store to get groceries.
Right.
Or like, it could be, you know, it could be like, just like, I recognize that I don't want to do this thing and I need to go do something else. My last ditch thing, to save the day, if I like cannot get what I need to do done, I will go home and take a long shower because that will sometimes I'll have the idea or the
kind of resets you.
It's just like time when it's okay. Like if I'm gonna get sort of like Buddhist about it, it's a mindful time. So it's a time when I allow myself to turn inwards to that anxiety and be like, you know, when you're in the shower, it's like, what else are you going to do? It's like you're kind of stuck with yourself. So it's like, I am feeling anxious about this thing. I'm feeling anxious about it for the following reasons, because in my heart, I know that I don't have what I need, or I haven't figured it out, or whatever. Like, I know, if I'm being honest, like I can identify the problem. And it's okay to feel this way, and I still have to do it.
Okay.
And then I can get out of the shower and come on. And also, sometimes I'll think – the shower is where I think of like the – sometimes you know how you come – I'm sure you get this where you like – you come up with the one little part of it where you're like, that part excites me.
Yeah.
Now I can't – it's like, I got the idea that's the fun part, and now I can do all this work to get to the one little fun part.
And, you know, I think you might be right. I'm going to have to think about what you mentioned. But I like your idea of like the thing that we could give away to somebody else, the thing that we don't really enjoy and we know we should give away. Are we just identifying it, or are we giving it away?
Oh, no, we're giving it up, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We got to find something.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, for you, I think you mentioned it could be handing off some emails. I think for me, I'm going to need to do some like soul searching this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll run that around in my head. It'll be good for both of us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This first half hour brought to you, as always, by Powder Milk Biscuits in the big blue box with a picture of the biscuit on the cover. Heavens, they're tasty and expeditious, made from whole wheat that gives shy persons, not that she's one of them, the strength to get up and do what needs to be done.
family Triton powder milk. Has your family Triton powder milk? Well, if your family's Triton, you know you're satisfied. If they're the real hot item powder milk.